Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know Friday, the 28th of June, 2019. To get you started, Friday marks 50 years since Stonewall. On June 28, 1969, police raided Manhattan's Stonewall Inn, an LGBTQ hangout. Martin Boyce, a college student at the time, remembers the commotion.
I came upon the riots, or I came upon the beginning, the initiation of the riots. It was a raid, but here it was. This commotion in the center of the village. So I went to see the raid, because that was part of the entertainment. If you weren't in the bar, arrested, it was a kind of schadenfreude. What you would do is go watch the show. Drag queens would come out, and there would be fanfare. The people that were shamed and caught off guard would come out, and they would hold their heads in shame. It was an interesting thing to watch. As I got to the bar, the drag queens were already coming out. You heard the cheers. But I was alongside a paddy wagon, and this cop was pushing this drag queen in further. She kicked him, and he went in, and he took care of business. You heard flesh and bone against shallow metal. We all grimaced, but in those days, she kicked him. So we all thought, well, you know, she kicked him. He didn't kick her. So we didn't say anything, didn't do anything. He turned around to us like they always did, and we always listened, and said, all right, you saw enough. You saw the show. Now get the hell out of here. And normally we did that. We do exactly what they said, but not this time. He turned around, and for some reason, we all took a step towards him. We didn't look at each other's faces, so I don't know what we looked like, but we kept going towards him. I could see the hairs on his neck raise. And then he turned around and lifted the club high and decided, you know, he was going to say it again. That was the last time, but he didn't get a chance to say it. Something in our faces frightened him. It was amazing to see a cop completely fall apart. He did. And he ran into the bar. And in my spot, the riot was on.
The police aggression against a marginalized community helped give rise to the modern gay rights movement, extending well beyond New York City and around the world. It's finally here. Ever since the draw was set for the Women's World Cup, all eyes were on a potentially cup-deciding matchup between two of the world's best teams, France and the United States. On Friday, we'll get that treat of a matchup in the quarterfinals. Fox Sports' Leslie Osborne looks ahead.
I think the biggest challenge that France is going to present against the U.S. is the pressure that France is going to apply on the U.S.'s back line and how they deal with that. So the back line is going to have a strong game. I think the center back pairing of Becky Sauerbrunn and Abby Dahlkamper and Alyssa Nair is going to have to be really strong. A lot of communication. They're going to have their hands full with Diani in the center of the park. Julie Ertz is going to have a big game. She's going to have a lot to deal with Henri in the middle of the park for France, who is their captain and leader. They have so much talent, and they're so fast, so they're going to have their hands full.
You can tune in at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox. Next up, President Trump is back in Japan, this time for the G20 summit. The event brings together world leaders from 19 wealthy nations as well as the European Union. Trump has already fired off some barbs before the event, criticizing India's tariffs and questioning the alliance between Japan and the United States. He'll also be meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday in a one-on-one conversation. He said earlier this week that the details of the meeting will likely be kept private.
I'll have a very good conversation with him. What I say to him is none of your business.
James Fields Jr. will face charges on Friday. Fields is a neo-Nazi who plowed his car into a crowd of peaceful protesters at a Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, in August of 2017. The attack killed 32-year-old Heather Heyer and injured dozens of others. Prosecutors are pushing for life in prison for the 22-year-old Fields, while his lawyers will plead for mercy for their client. Heather Heyer's mother told USA Today that anything less than a life sentence would send the wrong message, especially to those looking to copy his act. And last up, severe heat across Europe is expected to continue on Friday. A number of countries are bracing for what could be the hottest day yet after being scorched for much of the week already. In France, the highest danger alert has been issued by the nation's weather service. And in Italy, authorities have instructed the public to avoid being outside during the hottest hours of the day. Meanwhile, the World Meteorological Organization said that it's premature to attribute the unusually early heat wave to climate change, but a number of studies, including one from the National Academy of Sciences, say that extreme heat is one of the clearest connections to human-caused climate change. You can catch new episodes of 5 Things each weekday morning and on Saturdays on Apple Podcasts and wherever else you get your podcasts. That includes the Google Home and Amazon Echo. You can also subscribe for free and leave us a rating and review if you'd like. 5 Things is part of the USA Today podcast network.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.